We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Innovative Wellness. Visit InnovativeWell.com.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to Ron Coomer, and the Score Hotline is presented by Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Coom.
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
You know, I got to tell you, I said this to David this morning. Every time I see Nick Castellanos, I wish they had kept him. Every time I see him play, whether he's getting plunked in another game and mouthing off or whatever, I always think, boy, that guy's a good player. And then there he is yesterday with the five-hit game and obviously the game-winning hit. What a pity that he's not on the Cubs. I think that guy's a heck of a player.
What a pity. I think there's a few of those guys in the league, but I can't necessarily knock that assessment of what Nick Castellanos has been. You know, I mean, when you get a guy that covers the plate and drives the ball the other way and he's hitting in the right ballpark for him, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. And he showed it last night.
Yeah, there was a sense of inevitability when he came to the plate, runner on third in the 10th inning, Ron. So I enjoyed listening to you and Zach yesterday, filling in for Pat Hughes. Enjoyed your commentary on Saturday even more. You know, the Amir Garrett thing is just nonsense. Rossi really unloaded, called it garbage. Ron, just how did you think the Cubs responded to that? Were they over the line by, you know, having Javi Baez react the way he did? And I heard you reference it yesterday as a potential rallying point for this team.
Well, I think it just, you know, for Javi, it just comes out, right? I mean, as little kids, you get into a scuffle, right? You get into a fight. It is what it is. And all of a sudden, you see something happening, and boom, you react to it. And I think that was Javi. This guy's done this with multiple teams. It is what it is, and you just gotta play the game, and that's what happens. And you know, hopefully the league will, you know, react the way it's supposed to. David Ross, I did not know that. You know, Contreras been fined a few times now over just being, you know, hit. He got hit and he got fined. So we'll see what happens with Garrett. You know, it's kind of ridiculous, but, you know, we'll see what happens. That's, you know, I the hard thing to see when a guy just does his job. He comes in a game out of nowhere. I don't think anybody in the ballpark knew he was going to react the way he did, Garrett, to striking out Rizzo. That was bizarre.
But he's a bizarre guy, and he's had these issues before. I was saying to David, my fear is he and Baez have gone at it. And then when Baez comes jumping over the fence or the gate there, whatever, the rail, excuse me, at the dugout and runs out there, even like he's going to get in trouble, right? Because you're not supposed to do that either. And I get it. He's defending his teammate. But I don't know. I just worry I think Garrett should be suspended. I'm worried that somebody else is going to get some kind of discipline because they're always going after everyone over any kind of bench clearing thing.
Mike, yeah, I'm telling you, 5 losses in a row will make a man do some crazy stuff, especially now. And when you're a good team, man, you know, you're on, right? I mean, the switch is on. Anything that happens, you're ready to go. And that's the way it goes. And for Javi, I understand it. You know, you're losing and you're not happy and you're not doing what you think you can do. And, you know, you're right on edge, you know, with everything. So, you know, is that you and I? No. But when you're sitting in that dugout and somebody does something, boom, you're like ready to go. And so, actually, to be honest with you, I'm okay with that. That means they care. So if they're fired up and ready to go at any moment, that means they care, and I'm good with that.
And the frustration continues to mount, Coombe. I mean, yesterday they scored 12 runs. It's the first time they scored 12 or more since 2006 in a game that they lost. And the starting pitching has not been good, and they have yet to have a starter throw a pitch in the seventh inning. And so you see examples like over the weekend, you see, you know, a guy going to the mound tonight and Kyle Hendricks. They've got to get better. How do they do that?
Well, each guy's got to look in the mirror and figure out how they got to get better individually. You can't, you know, Kyle's probably the best example. You know, Kyle's an outstanding pitcher. He's your number one guy, and he's had some issues, so you just got to look in the mirror, David, and you just got to do your job better, right? I mean, whatever that is for Kyle, it's make pitches. I really believe Kyle, for me, I think teams are sitting on his off-speed pitches, and they're not even worrying about his fastball. So if that's the case, and that's what I saw last outing, every hit was on off-speed. So if he just starts busting guys inside, not hitting them, but just pitching inside for strikes and just off the plate, I think that'll help.
Ron, which starting pitcher is playing well right now? I mean, we've seen everybody have their struggles, and, you know, I hope that it's Hendricks tonight, but I don't know who's pitching well. Last time out, we saw Trevor Williams not get 3 innings in, and he walks some guys, Jake Arrieta. I mean, it seems like nobody is playing particularly well.
Yeah, I for the most part, I thought Jake was doing really well, but that right. didn't work out. So, you know, I think every staff, Mikey, has their bumps in the road. You just don't want the whole staff to have a bump in the road. I think when they look in the mirror and they sit down collectively, I know they feel that, and I don't necessarily think anybody's like doing what they think they should be doing. So, you know, I'm sure they're you know, sitting there in the dugout trying to figure it out amongst themselves, because, you know, as guys that are playing in this league, you know, and you're the 5 guys, you don't need a staff or a coach or anybody else to tell you, you know, hey, we need to do this, we need to do that. They know. Believe me, they know. They know they're scuffling, and they know the stress that they're putting on the team.
So, Coombe, Ian Happ, he gets a scary collision with Nico Horner, who made the catch yesterday in center field. It comes just after the half inning when he homered. And that was probably the best at bat you've seen from him in a long time. Number one, how scary did that look from your vantage point? And number two, where are you with him offensively in the progress he was beginning to make, at least from that at bat, because he's been struggling pretty mightily?
Well, it was very scary, the whole thing. You know, whenever guys are running and they collide, you know, that's one of those things that you just, you hold your breath, right? I mean, just didn't know what was going on. So that point right there for both guys was scary. I liked the whole day. I liked the last couple of bats the day before. I liked that he was up there swinging. When Ian's bat is in motion, I like that. I think that's good. So, you know, I think the opposing team knows that he's taking, and they just they're aggressive in the strike zone early in the count and then think he's going to chase. So yesterday I thought he was swinging a bat in the last at bat the day before. I thought he was swinging. And, you know, they hung a breaking ball and he hit it in the seats. To me, that's awesome. You know, you see what the team's doing to you, you react, and then good things happen. If he's swinging, he's a great athlete. I like his chances.
When we talk about this team, you know, we've talked about starting pitching. We've talked about hitting and this coming around. What about the bullpen? Where are you with the bullpen? And when we look at, you know, Craig Kimbrell has been really good to start the season. You just worry that there have been a couple chinks in the armor of late.
I think the bullpen is a struggle right now. I think it's up and down. You know, it's like everybody's bullpen. You just don't know. You know, and you got some young people out there that, you know, you're just not quite sure, and that's okay. You know, but at the end of the day, if the first six innings aren't good with the offense or the rotation, the bullpen doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you're hoping it does good, but right now the thought I think is the offense and the starting rotation, and then, you know, some of these kids got great arms, so, you know, you just keep running guys out there. Kimbrel's done his job. He's been outstanding, and, you know, so you go from there. But to me right now, you got to worry about the front part of the game. You know, the back part of the game will fix itself.
Ron, so lend us some of your insight here. What was Tony Walters thinking? A backup catcher stealing home, didn't have a great lead, didn't have a great jump, but, oh, well, it was a great idea, and he almost pulled it off with the slide. They review it. They overturn it. I thought he was in. I didn't think they had enough evidence to overturn it, and yet they did. What was going through your mind throughout that whole play?
Well, we're watching it off the monitors. I'm like, what the hell just happened? You know, we're watching it. Zach had no idea. We're watching it, and I'm like, all I saw was the pitcher's face turn, like, green, like, uh-oh. And he throws the ball, and I'm like, he's trying to steal home. But we couldn't see it. And then, you know, then I kind of figured it out quickly. And then we watched a replay, and I thought, I actually thought he was safe, but, you know, when your foot hits the ground, it bumps when you hit the ground. And they actually, after a few shots, they showed that they made the right call. I thought Clearidge Little League was alive and well in the big leagues. I played here in the south side of Chicago, and that was a move, Coom Dog tried to make when he was like 9 years old, and, you know, it was one of them moves. and you know what? He pulled it off. His foot bounced. I mean, damn, that was pretty good, you know, but it didn't work out.
Oh, it's hysterical. So I guess Jock Peterson has yet to really take live batting practice. So you got to see how the wrist feels when he comes off that. But, you know, I'm sure he had circled the Dodgers series as a thing that he wanted to be a part of. That's not going to happen now. Obviously, we know the Dodgers and what they've done. They could use Jock Peterson. It's a pity that he's not going to be available, but that's what you get when you have that kind of injury, right? There's really nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I think for Jock, it's disappointing, I'm sure. But, you know, right now the Cubs are – the Cubs, yeah, it is. It's disappointing. You know, he had a great spring and then got off to a slow start during the regular season. Mike, right now, this team is a talented group that's not winning. So right now the focus is laser on winning.
Where do you like Nico Hoerner, Coom, in the Zobrist role of moving around quite a bit, because he has played a lot of different positions already? He's hitting. It hasn't affected him at the plate. You wonder what their plan is with him. They got to keep him in the lineup, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a baseball player. You know, David, you look at certain guys and you just go, that guy's a baseball guy. You know, he steals a base, he knocks in a run, he gets a couple hits. He's aggressive all over the field. He's a baseball player. He's got to play. He's got to play. He's got to play every day. And if you want to move him around the field a little bit, that's okay. But, you know, he's an athlete. He can play second. He can play short. He can play a couple outfield positions. I mean, you know, what would be the hesitation of playing him? You know, he just does a lot of stuff, you know, and I'm guessing they're going to start moving him up the lineup again. You know, hitting down in the lineup, I understand it. But, boy, if he keeps hitting the way he is, and, you know, they talk about on-base percentage, that's close to 500. If he's gonna keep getting on base and hitting and taking a walk once in a while, got to get him up in the top of the lineup, especially if he ends hurt.
Ron, thanks a ton. We appreciate it, buddy. Always fun to talk.
Great stuff, Coom. Take care.
Boys, I know you had the draft. Let's hope Mr. Fields is somebody we're going to be talking about for a long time. That would be great.
Well, we're definitely going to be talking about him. Just don't know the tone of the conversation.
Will.
All
right, Coom.
Thanks.
Take care, boys. Miss you.
You too.
That's Ron Coomer. He's awesome. We're going to bring in Dan Pompey next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Pompey. Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our chance to talk to Dan Pompey. Joins us on The Score Hotline, the Hall of Famer himself, presented by Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
Great, guys. What a weekend, huh?
Love the draft. So much fun. And just curious, did the Bears win the draft? Are they the ultimate winner? And how much did they win it by? Was it a blowout?
Well, I'll give you a really boring answer. Check back with me in 5 years. you know, I think it all depends on Justin Fields, right? I mean, if he is what Matt Nagy believes he can be, what Ryan Day believes he can be, then it's a slam dunk. But obviously not everyone had that same kind of conviction in Fields, which is why he was there with the 11th pick. You know, I think there's a lot to be excited about. I think, you know, the risk that they took to trade up in the first round, give up a first round pick next year, clearly was worth, you know, the potential reward, what you could get with this guy. And, you know, he has the kind of ability that really, I mean, there isn't another Bears quarterback in history who had his kind of ability. You know, you look at the whole package, the way he could throw the ball, run, you know, he's a special, special athlete, his size. And I think, you know, there's a lot, like I said, for Bears fans to be excited about. We'll see where it goes, though.
And I think now the onus shifts to Matt Nagy. He's got to get the most out of this young quarterback. And Dan, as you write in The Athletic, I think it's exactly right. It's a reset in many ways on Matt Nagy's tenure with the Bears. How do you find that balance between, you know, letting Justin Fields maximize his athleticism within the confines of an offense, or does the offense have to change, and does he have to rewrite the playbook and maybe rethink the way that he approaches what he demands from the quarterback position?
Yeah, good questions. Well, I think part of the reasons that Fields was Matt Nagy's guy is because Fields' abilities are aligned with Nagy's philosophies, right? So they're a match in the opinion of Nagy at this point. And I think, you know, a rewrite of the playbook probably is not necessary, but I think a tweaking of the playbook is, and certainly, you know, maybe a rethinking of how you game plan when he's in there and how you call plays, because he can do things certainly that Mitch Trubisky could not, or he has different skills than Mitch Trubisky, not to completely diss Trubisky, but, you know, this is a guy who you have to, I don't think you can take any offense and say, we're going to plug Justin Fields in there and just let him go. You have to say, this is our quarterback. We're going to do what he does best. And there's a lot of things that he does very well, like I said, that you can take advantage of. And I'm sure Matt Nagy and his offensive staff have been working on with glee since Friday.
I have no proof of this, Dan, but I'm guessing that Mark Murphy got on the hotline 2 picks into the draft and said to Brian Gutekunst, are you out of your mind? Start drafting offense. We got to keep this guy. What is going on with the Packers? Holy moly, how much fun is this?
Yeah, well, you know, I had one guy tell me from another team, that NFC team, said, you know, the joke in our office was we were going to throw in a first-round pick to whoever traded for the Packers just to get him out of the conference. you know, I think you can't trade Aaron Rodgers, can you? I mean,
no.
You can't do it, and I don't think they will do it. I think, you know, they're going to try to make it work, and, you know, I don't believe that there's anything that can't be overcome with a few zeros at the end of the paycheck, but we'll see. I mean, obviously, you know, Rodgers is a different guy. He's a very principled guy, and I think, you know, he's obviously got some problems with the organization that go beyond the financial commitment. But I think, you know, if they give him no option but to play for them, I'd be surprised if he sat out the year, because I think he loves football too much. And, you know, I think he's too invested in the game to walk away for a year.
If you're Mark Murphy and the report is accurate that Aaron Rodgers wants Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, fired or else, what do you do? Could you see the Packers firing the general manager because Aaron Rodgers wants them to do that as a condition of his return?
I don't think they can do that. I don't think they will do that. But, you know, this is a really unusual situation where you're talking about a quarterback who is, you know, the best player in the league in 2020 and, you know, maybe the best player in the league in 2021, and a guy who has meant so much to the franchise, a Super Bowl winner, multiple MVP winner. You know, you can't treat him like you treat every other player. You have to have special accommodations, special sets of rules for Aaron Rodgers, because he's different, and he's, you know, he's beyond anything else that's in the league right now. So, you know, I think you have to, at some point, you have to say almost, you know, whatever it takes to make this guy happy, but I don't think you want to set the precedent of having a player firing a general manager.
Is Jordan Love ready?
you know, great question. I don't think anybody outside of Green Bay knows that, and they probably don't know that either. But I think, again, I don't think it matters, because, you know, you've got to write out Aaron Rodgers for everything he's worth. And, you know, you can get a lot more out of that in Green Bay if you play the cards right.
Back to the Bears, Dan. You know, Tevin Jenkins, a second-round pick, we've been talking all morning about how quickly he plays. We think he could be, you know, week one, depending on what side of the ball he's on. Right tackle seems to be the most seamless transition to for him to make. And yet, Ryan Pace left open the door to him playing left tackle, even though Charles Leno Jr. is there. He's got a high salary cap hit. How fluid is that situation, and what do you expect to happen with the Bears and their offensive tackles?
Yeah, you know, I would think that they'd probably give him some snaps at both and see where it goes, see how the incumbents do, see where he looks the most natural, you know. But I think, you know, if you really believe he can play left tackle, you probably put him there. But I think he's a more natural right tackle. You know, Oklahoma State, he had 26 of his starts were at right tackle, 7 were at left, and 2 were at guard. So he's most of his experience is on the right side. He's built like a right tackle. He plays like a right tackle. I guess, you know, the flip side of that is you might say the right and left, the differential between the two positions isn't as pronounced as it used to be because the game has changed a little bit. But still, that left tackle generally is the more athletic guy, you know, who is able to keep up with the speed rushers and, you know, protect the quarterback's blind side. So I think, you know, this guy is more of a power player, a mauler, which you normally figure is what you want on your right side, where oftentimes you build your run game off of. But, you know, if he has the versatility to do both, you know, that's outstanding. And that's a great get if you've got a guy who could play either side.
You know, it's fascinating because I think we look at all the quarterbacks that were in the first round. I was saying this to David. It feels like Justin Fields was scrutinized more than anyone else, and there was more kind of disfavor found than any other player, and I'm not sure why. It's almost like people didn't just watch the tape. They were looking for reasons that he would fall, and, you know, I get it. Mac Jones ended up going 15th. It was weird to see the way the quarterbacks went off the board, though, because I would never have expected Fields to fall out of the top 10. And Trey Lance, I don't think we expected him to be the third pick in the draft.
Yeah, I didn't expect Fields to be available when the Bears picked. I was somewhat surprised any of the top 5 quarterbacks were there out of the top 10 picks. I thought all 5 might go. And as it turned out, you know, they had their choice of 2. I talked with one front office guy who told me he thought, you know, Fields could have gone 3 and Lance could have fallen. Right. I mean, clearly, you know, I wrote last week, I think we talked about it a little bit, was how, you know, guys were not from different evaluators were not on the same page on these guys after Trevor Lawrence. You know, everyone kind of agreed, yeah, Trevor Lawrence is in a class by himself. After that, I think you had a lot of varying opinions about who's good, who isn't good, who, you know, how you rank them, what skills fit individual systems. And, you know, in the case of Fields, obviously Matt Nagy and the Bears believe strongly that he was the guy who would be able to do some of the things that they want to do. And, you know, it's interesting because I talked with a couple guys who compared him to, one guy compared him to Donovan McNabb, who of course had great success in almost the same system that was run by Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Another guy said he had a few similarities to Patrick Mahomes. Now, he's not saying that he's as good as Mahomes or could be as good as Mahomes, but in terms of, you know, the way he can do some things that no one else can do, the way he sometimes plays a little kind of loosey-goosey, you know, Brett Favre played the same way, right? Didn't always do things the way you're supposed to do them conventionally with your footwork or your reads or even your throwing angles. And, you know, from that standpoint, you could see how Nagy was attracted to this guy in terms of guys he's seen in the system have success before.
So is it by the 5th game or the 5th series where we will be seeing Justin Fields playing and replacing Andy Dalton, or how easy or difficult will it be for Matt Nagy to play out this developmental plan that he would like to see, you know, last as long as possible?
Well, I think a lot of it, David, depends on how much success the Bears are having, how much success the Bears offense is having. But it's interesting, we saw last year, you know, he pulled the plug on Trubisky at a point when the Bears still were having some success for the most part. So, you know, maybe he does the same thing to Dalton this year, maybe not. It's going to be interesting because I think when you get to training camp, you know, you're going to look at the skill of Justin Fields and compare it to the skill of Andy Dalton, and it's going to be hard not to say, wow, look at what Fields can do. You know, why is he number two? But then again, there's more to it than that, obviously. It's, you know, the grasp of the offense and the comfort with the reads and the understanding of NFL defenses, the speed of the game. You know, there's so many things that a young quarterback has to get used to. And I think really, you know, he really is going to be better off sitting probably for a while anyway. I know some of the front office people I talked to, talked to an offensive coordinator who studied him, you know, they believe, you know, the best case scenario for him is to sit for a year. But we'll see. I mean, you know, that's just speculation at this point because you really don't know until you get into it and you start seeing the progress or the, you know, the speed bumps or whatever they may be that Justin Fields encounters as a young quarterback.
Great stuff, Dan, as always. Thank you, buddy.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Dan Pompey. Make sure, write it down, David. Schedule it. We got to call him in 5 years and find out how that draft was.
Okay. Oh, so we're at 2026.
Get the calendar.
May 3rd.
What do you think? How was it? Can you make an early predict? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
They need to reestablish the physicality of the offensive line in that organization. Because without it, Justin isn't going to do anything. The quarterbacks there had no shot last year. There was a reason why they had to change their entire offense from a drop-back game to a rollout game to a play-action game. One, because Mitch Trubisky needed that in order to be successful. But two, because I'll tell you what, the offensive line, as far as pass protection, it wasn't getting... I mean, Mitch Trubisky and those guys were getting killed. Nick Foles couldn't play behind that offensive line because he can't move well enough. So they got to take care of it front to back, and Justin will be just fine. But until they do, nothing else is going to work offensively until they do.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And that is Lewis Riddick talking about the Bears' offensive line. Loved hearing that. Loved hearing from him. Really followed along with him as he watched the draft. And I think he's got a lot of insight into the Bears. Obviously, he knows Matt Nagy from their time in Philadelphia together. And Lewis Riddick, I believe that he interviewed for both the Houston Texans and Detroit Lions general manager openings. Interesting. He could be a future general manager in this league, David.
Could be. He's going to be back in the Monday night booth next year with Brian Griese, and I think that makes a lot of sense. But he does give you some insight into the Bears because of his relationship with Matt Nagy. He also alludes to what I think is the next kind of level of conversation as it pertains to the Bears. There's a lot of euphoria, understandably so. Hope has returned, and all those things true when you get a quarterback like Justin Fields in the fold. But Mully, now in the short term, the Bears have two offenses to prepare. Essentially, you have to be open to redefining your playbook and rewriting some of those things when you have a quarterback as dynamic as Justin Fields. So if you're Matt Nagy, that's the challenge that is on you. But as you prepare for 2021 and you want Andy Dalton to go as long as possible, very different approach. I mean, Andy Dalton is the point guard to distribute the football to your offensive weapons. He's also the play-action passing guy. He's the guy that you don't have a lot of faith in if the pocket breaks down. He's not going to improvise. So you've got to have that approach as well. So you're going to be basically operating on parallel tracks here, one for the future with Justin Fields offensively, and the other one with the immediate concerns that Andy Dalton kind of creates based on his limitations.
So you saved the good plays for Justin Fields?
The ones that are named after Christmas songs are for Justin Fields. And the other ones, Dalton's got the rest. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's definitely a different approach to you know, they're different skill sets entirely. They're so dramatically different that I think you've got to wonder every time you see the Bears, you know, run pass ratio being heavily to the run, you wonder how that's going to be when Fields takes over, because it's a different approach.
Santa's sleigh. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Those were the days.
Those were the fun days. That's when it was all working. Okay, so, and I'm curious about this. You can't change personnel based on the guy that's starting, right? I mean, you can't. You're not going to have a different offensive line. You're not going to have different receivers. But you're talking about the taking advantage of the skill sets of the individual players. And the things that Justin Fields can do are going to be a lot different than the things that Andy Dalton can do. And I would say, David, without being, you know, oversimplifying things, you're just going to be a lot more wide open when you finally get the Fields.
I think that's fair to say, Molly. And I think without, you know, getting too complicated, for one example, okay, I think with Justin Fields, you're going to want to have a more moving pocket that's more keeping him on the move and rolling out to give him sort of a run pass option that he, you know, excelled at Ohio State. This is somebody that's going to do a lot of damage with his feet. He's certainly going to be the guy that can beat you downfield with that deep ball. But with Andy Dalton, I don't know that you want to move the pocket, do you? I think you want Andy Dalton being a guy that is reading the defense and have a lot more autonomy at the line of scrimmage, perhaps. Different mindset when you have a rookie who's taking over, or a guy who's, or a young quarterback learning the league. So that's only one example, but I think the whole approach applies to how you would shape and tailor your game plans.
Could you see, you know, a kind of a New Orleans type situation where you got Drew Brees, but you got another player that can run the ball, it can do some other things? They didn't really throw when they used him, but could you see using Justin Fields in certain situations for a couple of plays? I mean, do you think he's just sitting there and studying and working out? And I mean, listen, the guy's got a little bit of a hitch in his throw. If you follow the way, you know, his releases, it should be faster because he kind of does this weird thing at the top of it. I guess what I'm saying is there are some minor things you want to adjust before you put him on the field. And I think once you get on the field, it's going to be hard to not go back to whatever you're doing. It might take time before you're making the adjustments we're talking about, but certainly he's an incredibly effective on the move and a guy that can run. And you could, you know, you could run that play where he turns and rolls and throws the ball back the other way. I'm just saying there's only a lot of plays that come to mind immediately that he can make. And you could just kind of incorporate them into a regular game plan without changing your quarterbacks, just giving him a series here or there.
Valid point. Good question. Number one, I wouldn't want him to mimic what the Saints are doing with Taysom Hill. I don't want to expose Justin Fields to that kind of injury. Nothing against Taysom Hill, but his relative value to the Saints offense isn't even close to what now Justin Fields means to the Bears offense. So I would erase that idea altogether and say, absolutely not. You don't have a package of plays. If Justin Fields is going to play quarterback, he's going to be QB1. All right. That's what I would say. As far as his mechanics, you're right. I mean, you know, you read a lot, the elongated release, and then you read about his footwork, and you watch him, and technically he's not as sound with his feet as you might expect a first-round draft pick to be. And you know what, Molly? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I would be real hesitant to do too much technical work with Justin Fields only because he is an elite athlete and playmaker, and some of these guys fall into this category, Patrick Mahomes being at the top of the list, not making a comparison, but it's an app. You know, you got to look at it this way. Sometimes you just got to let him go. And even though it may be flawed mechanically and look a little bit unorthodox, boy, you're not complaining when he's scrambling for that first down or when he's making a play that nobody else can make from throwing from a different platform. And I think that's what you when you get Justin Fields.
So Matt Nagy's got to run the offense. Bill Lazor's got to whisper in the ear of Andy Dalton. Does that mean that Flip takes his time away from holding hands with Nick Foles to concentrate strictly on improving mechanics for Justin Fields.
Flip's the bad cop. I think he's the bad cop. Yeah, he has to, you know, stop the hand-holding, I guess you want to call it that, with Foles and the relationship. But, you know, I think he's got to be the one that does, to some degree, you know, fine-tune some of these mechanical issues and maybe provide a little bit more structure than maybe currently exists. But I don't think you want to go overboard with that for reasons we talked about. You've got to let an athlete be athletic. You've got to let a quarterback as dynamic as Justin Fields is make the plays that he's capable of making without him feeling confined by an offense.
It should be fun to see if he's used, how he's used, when he's used more than anything else. We're going to bring in Dan and Layla and talk to them next. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.